53. 9 years ago. Gone, Katie thought, staring at the card. But not forgotten. Still gone, though. Forever. Gone. The word seemed to have lodged in her brain. She couldn't get past it.
You don't have to decide on the words right now,
the elderly lady behind the counter told her kindly.
You can always call back.
But she couldn't. There had been enough disagreement about the flowers, plants. She needed to get this done. And it was stupid, really. Because it wasn't as if Dad was going to read the card. It wasn't like she was writing it for him. But she still felt a burden. A responsibility to get the words right, if nothing else. To avoid the clichés, the bland platitudes. But what could she say? This wasn't the funeral of a father who had died peacefully in his sleep. He hadn't suffered a long illness from which death was a merciful release. What were the right words when your beloved father had been brutally and sadistically murdered? The florist was still staring at her. She was short, with straggly white hair in a bun, and thick glasses, which she peered through like a myopic mole. A myopic mole dressed in a blue dress, shabby cardigan and sensible black shoes.
It's always more difficult in these circumstances.
Katie looked at her more sharply. What do you know about my circumstances?
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to intrude, but, well, I read the news and I'm so sorry.
Katie cleared her throat.
Thank you. It's just, you're still angry.
She looked up sharply, about to retort that it was none of this woman's business. But then she realized the florist was right. That was exactly it. It was hard to write words of remembrance when you were still so angry that you were doing this at all. When this was not right. When what you really wanted to do was shout and scream and rail against the God who had let it happen. And this was the first person who had recognized that. She nodded.
Yes, I am.
The florist smiled. It wasn't exactly sympathetic. Katie wasn't sure what it was. It only occurred to her later that it was satisfaction, as if she had answered correctly.
Would you like a coffee? Thank you.
The woman gestured for her to come around the counter. In the back of the shop there was a small kitchenette and a couple of comfy chairs. Katie sat down while the woman boiled the kettle.
You know, a lot of people think that grief is all about acceptance, but that's not always the way.
And what am I supposed to do?
How do you really feel about the man who murdered your father?
Katie took a breath, so sharp it physically hurt, like a cracked rib.
I hate him. I know I'm not supposed to say that. I know I'm supposed to try and forgive. He was just a kid, only 18. Deprived background, in and out of care. I get it. But he murdered my dad.
He crushed him against the wall and then left him there to die. He could have still saved him. One call, one sign of remorse.
Instead, he went to a party.
While my dad was bleeding to death, he was snorting coke and getting wasted. She stopped for breath. It was the first time she had said it, had really let it out, to a complete stranger. The florist brought two mugs of coffee over.
At least they caught the person responsible.
For what it's worth, our solicitor is telling us to prepare for a plea of manslaughter and a light sentence because of his age. Maybe only 2 or 3 years. My dad is dead forever, and he gets a few years. It doesn't feel like justice.
What would?
The question caught her by surprise. Her answer, even more so.
For him to die, in pain and alone, just like my dad.
She shook her head.
God, that sounds awful, doesn't it? No, it sounds honest. Here.
The woman handed her a card. Katie stared at it. The card was black, with three words written in white. The other people. Beneath the words, two white stick people held hands.
What's this?
A website.
where you can connect with people who've been through the same thing as you, who might be able to help.
Right. Thank you. I'll take a look.
She had no intention of taking a look. It was probably some happy-clappy Christian site. This was obviously a ploy to spread the good word.
You won't find it on the normal web.
Katie frowned.
Then you've heard of the dark web?
Katie stared at the frumpy, bespectacled florist.
The dark web?
Was this a joke? Some hidden camera show? She frowned.
I thought that was illegal.
Not always. Sometimes it's just for individuals who want to be more private. Katie flipped the card over. A sequence of letters and numbers was written on the back.
That's the web address and password, if you want to visit,
the woman said.
So it's just a chat room?
Not just.
If you're serious about finding justice for your father, they offer other services.
Other services. The conversation had taken a surreal turn. The small room suddenly felt claustrophobic. The smell of the flowers sickly, the taste of the coffee bitter. Why had she confessed all of that to a stranger?
Grief, she thought. It was playing with her mind. She needed to get out of here. Well, thank you for the chat and the coffee, but I should really go now. What about the words on your card?
Just, we'll miss you, Dad.
She hurried from the shop, out into the flow of midday foot traffic, gulping in the cool air. She walked briskly along the pavement towards the car park. She meant to throw the card into a litter bin, but she didn't see any, or maybe there were people in the way. Somehow, when she got back home, it was still in her purse. She took it out. Her intention, she was sure, to chuck it into the recycling bin. But she must have been distracted because, instead, it ended up sitting on the small table in the hall. She was busy with Sam and work, and it continued to sit there, with unopened junk mail for several days. She had almost forgotten about it when Fran came round to finalise the funeral arrangements. Her sister didn't come round very often. She had always maintained a distance from the rest of the family. To be fair, Katie didn't mind all that much. She found her elder sister hard work, in the same way that Mum could be hard work. Spiky, often confrontational. Difficult to love. Which made it sound as though you were the one with the problem, when, in fact, it was more that Fran put obstacles in the way of affection. Katie wasn't sure why, and after all this time, she wasn't sure if she had the energy to climb over them. This particular afternoon, Fran hurried in, saying she couldn't stop long, and then her eyes fell to the card on the table.
What's this?
Nothing. Just junk. I was about to throw it away.
That's what she should have said. But she didn't. She felt a compulsion to share it, perhaps because it was something she and her sister could actually have a conversation about.
She said, "It's a weird story, actually." The funeral was a week later. It passed.
That was probably the best thing she could say about it. Their mum managed to stay sober enough not to embarrass herself during the service, although a couple of times Katie had to grab her arm to hold her steady. There was no one to do the same for her because Craig was at home looking after Sam. Again. Although they had agreed that they couldn't bring a screaming baby to a funeral, Craig hadn't made much of an effort to persuade his parents to step in and babysit so he could support his wife. Katie tried to convince herself he was just being a good father, and almost succeeded. The vicar delivered a speech which talked a lot about their dad in life, as Katie and her sisters had requested, but omitted the brutal and senseless nature of his death. He also talked about acceptance and forgiveness, but every time she glanced at the plants arranged around the coffin, which she would take away and put in his beloved garden, she thought about the myopic mole. Other services. And fought to contain a shiver. Standing at the graveside felt surreal, like she was in a movie, playing the role of the grieving daughter. Despite the very real sound of Lou wailing and sniffing beside her, red-faced and snot full of grief, it didn't seem possible that this was actually happening. It couldn't be her dad, in that hard wooden coffin being slowly lowered into the earth. This wasn't his ending. This wasn't the way things were supposed to be. It was inconceivable that she would never see his smile or feel his warm touch again. Gone, she thought. Forever. The tears rolled down her cheeks, and she felt a hand take hers. Fran. Katie had booked a small village pub for the wake. It was crowded. Dad had been popular, and she knew he would have been happy to see so many people there. The room buzzed with conversation, and away from the bleak solemnity of the church, she felt some of the heavy grief not exactly lifting, but dissipating. This was Dad, she thought. Not that cold grey church and hard wooden coffin. This, here. People, friends, laughter. She had put Lou in charge of monitoring Mum, but it was a pointless task. People kept buying the grieving widow drinks, and she was already pretty drunk. In a way, Katie envied her. She wished she could just throw back the gin and surrender to oblivion. But she couldn't. Someone had to circulate, to accept condolences, thank people for coming, chat to the vicar, make sure that there were enough sandwiches. A funeral certainly seemed to make people hungry. Finally, face hurting from the forced smiling, she managed to get away and find a quiet corner, where she stood sipping a warm white wine, nibbling a breadstick. Fran emerged from the crowd and came to stand by her side. I visited that website, she said, with her usual lack of preamble. What? Why? Fran held out the business card. I borrowed this. I was curious. Katie took the card back with a shaking hand. She hadn't even noticed it was missing. And? I did it. Did what? Katie stared at her, a tight knot forming in her stomach. Fran, what did you do? Her sister glanced out of the window. Katie realized a taxi had pulled up. She frowned. You've booked a cab. I thought I was giving you a lift. I have to go home and pack. The knot grew tighter. Pack? Where are you going? I'm sorry. I can't stay here anymore. Not now Dad's gone. I need a fresh start. It's best for everyone. What are you talking about? Her sister turned and suddenly grabbed her in a fierce, tight hug. For Dad. Just remember that. Fran? Releasing her, leaving Katie feeling a little dazed and breathless, Fran turned and walked briskly from the pub. Katie wanted to run after her, to scream at her to come back, to explain. Then she heard a smash of glass from the other side of the room. Mum. She couldn't make a fuss at her father's funeral. Her mum had that covered. She would not let anything else ruin this. She watched her sister climb into the waiting taxi and then she turned. Smiling and nodding, she crossed the room to deal with her mother, even as Fran's words reverberated around her brain. For Dad. The phone call came a week later. Katie was in the kitchen trying to soothe a grisly Sam when her mobile rang. She snatched it up, wedging it between her shoulder and her ear. Hello? Katie? Yes? Sam wailed. She tried to ease a dummy into his mouth. It's Alan Frant here. Their family liaison officer. Oh, hello, Alan. Sam spat the dummy out onto the floor. There's been a development in your father's case. What sort of development? She bent awkwardly, clutching Sam, and rescued the dummy from the floor. Jaden Carter has been found dead. She froze. Jaden Carter. The teenager who had murdered their dad. What happened? I'm not sure that... Sam wriggled in her grip. She stuck the dummy briefly into her own mouth, then wedged it back in his. This time he accepted it. Tell me. His wrists and throat were slashed with a razor.
Oh, God.
The room spun. Every bit of saliva seemed to have been sucked from her mouth.
Yes, very unpleasant.
But it was suicide.
She wanted him to say yes.
Please say yes.
There will be a full investigation. Obviously, Jaden was on remand, and there are some, well, inconsistencies. But as far as your father's case is concerned, the CPS can't prosecute a dead man.
Inconsistencies.
Other services.
No,
she whispered.
I see.
I'm very sorry.
Yes, thank you. Bye.
She put the phone down. Her stomach rolled. She walked into the living room and placed Sam in his playpen.
I'd like him to die, in pain and alone, just like my dad.
Oh, Jesus Christ. She ran to the kitchen sink, but could only heave. She splashed her face and tried to catch her breath.
I did it.
Coincidence. It had to be a coincidence, surely. She was reading too much into it. And yet... She grabbed her mobile, pulled up Fran's number. She had tried calling her several times after the funeral, but each time it had gone to voicemail. Now an automated voice told her, "The number you have called is no longer in service." She tried again, just to be sure, but got the same message.
Shit.
Okay. What to do? And then she knew. She grabbed Sam, bundled him into his buggy, and left the house. A young woman with short blonde hair was serving behind the counter at the florist's. She smiled pleasantly as Katie came in.
Can I help you?
Yes. I was in here the other day and there was an older lady serving.
The pleasant smile vanished.
Martha.
I didn't catch her name. Is she going to be in again?
The girl shook her head.
No, that's why I'm covering. She called in yesterday and said she wasn't coming back. She's supposed to give a week's notice, and she's really dropped us in it.
Katie just stared at her, feeling her world start to disintegrate beneath her feet.
I don't suppose you have her contact details.
Even if I could give them to you, it wouldn't help.
She lowered her voice.
They're all fake. My boss is pretty pissed off, to be honest.
Katie stared at her.
Fake?
She left the shop in a daze. Breathe, she told herself. Keep calm. Think rationally. Chances are all of this is just a weird, horrible coincidence, not a conspiracy. Real life. She needed to sit down, have a coffee, put all of this in perspective. She found herself a seat in the local coffee shop, ordered a cappuccino and gave Sam some juice and a banana. Then she took the business card out of her purse.
The other people.
Fran, what did you do?
What does it matter? Dad's killer is dead. Justice. Rip the card up. Forget it. Get on with your life. Cappuccino?
She glanced up at the waitress.
Oh, yes, thank you.
The waitress put the overflowing cup down on the table. Katie smiled politely, waited until she had walked away, and picked her phone up.
Forget it. Get on with your life.
She opened Safari and Googled how to access the dark web. Whatever Fran had done, she had to see for herself.